Today's Mishnah Masechet Machshirim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Machshirim Perek Arba, Mishnah Tet. So here we're talking about a kilon, a memale be kilon, and the question is, what exactly is this kilon? So there seems to be a machlokas here about what is going on. So some learn a kilon is an open pipe, which is a passageway between one group of water and a place where you want this water to flow to a different place. And that would be the hamshach of the mayim to a new place. And others learn that the kilon here is just being used in the sense of a place where water is being held in something. It's being held maybe in a hollowed out piece of wood that's in the ground, or even a piece of cheres that's in the ground, which is the way that the Rambam understands it. So now the question is, if originally the water was brought there and you wanted it to be there, and it hasn't been used for a little bit, so ad shlosha yamim tameim, you put things into that water, or even if things fell into that water, because the water was originally put there l'ratzoncha. And remember, if the tchila is l'ratzon, so even if the actual peiros fall in shelo l'ratzon, that wouldn't matter. So if over here peiros fall into the kilon, it's 3 days later, and you don't know whether there was enough dampness in that kilon to be makshir that water, so up to 3 days, the water is actually still going to be assumed to be there and to be machshir. But after that, it's probably dry. So you should be misvara, it's dry. Anyway, that's the way most of the Rishonim learned this Mishnah. However, there's a completely different approach. And according to that, the question is not nogea, the issue of whether is it probably dry or not probably dry. And then when Rabbi Akiva would say, well, it's not a question of guessing. Im nagvu miyatorin. It's not if you know for a fact that it was wiped out with a towel. So then it would not be moshe l'kabel tuma. Im lo nagvu. If you know for a fact that there's water in there, so then it would not obviously be magically tohar. And so Rabbi Akiva is just coming along to explain that what we were talking about is that it's a stam kilon. But if you know what the situation is, then you go according to that. And he's not arguing on anybody. He's just making it clear. Now, okay, that's the way most of the Mefarshim actually understand it, even though it's a bit difficult to understand why we would need Rabbi Akiva. And that is the reason, perhaps, that we have a completely different approach, according to the Rambam, where the Rambam learns that what we're talking about over here is a real machlokas, and it has nothing to do with guessing whether minatstam it's still wet or not wet. It's a real halacha in the din of ki yitain dumya l'ki yitain. And that's because l'chora, according to the Rambam, I mean, it doesn't say it openly why, but he simply says, after 3 days have passed, then that mayim is not considered to be berotzai. And that's because mitchila, what he seems to be saying is that from the very beginning, it was there in order to be there for 3 days. Why would we say that? Because that's the norm. In other words, since once you're going to get something wet, you take into consideration, it's like going into a mikveh and you're going to have to get your feet wet, right? So, okay, so you're taking into consideration in that case that you're going to get your feet wet. So here too, that's the Rambam who understands that we're talking about some type of container, an eitz or a cheres that was on the ground, and that it's therefore, you take into consideration that that's the norm. Look, if I'm going to put water in here, it's not going to just disappear. It's probably going to be there for a while. So therefore, it's automatically considered to be berotzai. But just as we saw before, whatever isn't necessarily the case is not considered to be berotzai, right? That's how we were able to give these general rules, which we found in some of the Mishnahs before, that it should be on a case-by-case basis. And every time the Tanakhama says, no, it's not on a case-by-case basis, because what we're looking at is how to assess the person's das. That makes a heck of a lot of sense. So that over here, assessing the person's das, what did he take into consideration? How long is he going to have to assume that it's going to be wet? Well, you know, the norm is it's going to take 3 days till it dries out. So therefore, according to that, the Tanakhama is saying we make an assessment of his das, in which case Rabbi Akiva, who says, no, look, if it's still wet, it's still wet. I mean, it was originally there, Baratzon, so therefore this is considered to be part of his Ratzon. That's similar to the Shitas that we had earlier, that we look at the assessment not as a general rule, but on a case-by-case basis. So it's the same kind of machokas that we had earlier about whether something was meant to get wet or not, depending where the mikvah was located and stuff like that. Mishnah Yud, Eitzim, Shenaflu Aleihem Mashkim. Now here, the question is, big machlokas, are we talking about over here, Mayim Tmeim, which is what it seems to be talking about, because it talks about Tahorim or Tmeim. We're talking about where there was Mayim that was actually Tame, not just Mukshar, or are we using the word Tame and Tahor in terms of Heksher as we've done before? Okay, so let's take the two approaches. Eitzim shenaflu aleihem mashkim, much preferred by the Rishonim. Most of the Rishonim is that when it says over here naflu aleihem mashkim, it means mashkim tmeim fell on these eitzim. V'yodo aleihem gishomi, and then it rained. So now these eitzim are soaked with mashkim tmeim, but they have been subsequently soaked by gishomim, and these gishomim were not lerotzain, and therefore they cannot be mekabel tuma, because natural water that wasn't lerotzain is not mekabel tuma even for itself. Not only is it not marshal mekabel tuma, it's actually not mekabel tuma. So then when it rained, the question is, how much did it rain? Se'im Rabu, if you've got more rain that this Eitzim has been exposed to, then you have the original Mashkim Tmeim, which they absorb. So then they became bottle in the Gishamim, and the Gishamim are not Mekabel Tuma, and therefore there's no Mayim Tmeim over here, because the Mayim Tmeim cannot be Metame the Geshem, and they become bottle. But what if you had taken out Otziam? You took these Eitzim outdoors in order she'erdu aleihem gishamim. So then that would mean that these gishamim themselves can be mekabel tuma because you wanted the Eitz to be exposed to the Geshem. So then it wouldn't matter how much gishamim came down, because af al pi sherabu, they would still be tmeim, because the moment that the gishamim touch these eitzim that are filled with water that is tame, they themselves would become tame. So now that is learning the Mishnah as a reference to actual tuma. Okay, that's the way the Bartanur learns it, and that's actually the way the Rosh Mishnah learns it. Now, others learn that we're just talking about Tomei in terms of Mashkim that are Makshiri. So when it says Shenofla Aleihem Mashkim, it means any of the Mashkim that are Makshirin. So that could be not only water, it could be referring to, you know, honey. And now Gishamim fall on them. So im rabu, it would mean if we've got more megashamim than the tahorim, because these mashkin would not be machshir anymore, because now you have a rove of megashamim, which is shalol ratzin. But if you brought them outside in order that they should get wet, so then if the gishamim fall on it, this is all ratzin. This is how the Rambam understands it. And therefore, the whole thing is machshir, despite the fact that it was blown away by the amount of gishamim that came down on it. Now, the rest of the Mishnah, there's no machlokas. The rest of the Mishnah, even according to the Rambam, is talking about mashkim tmeim. So, suppose bol'u mashkim tmeim. Over here, it means mashkim tmeim. So if a water that had been mekabel tuma, they were absorbed into this dry wood. And we'll see why it's important to understand how dry the wood was as we go along. So if bal'u mashkin tmeim, so then they absorbed mashkin tmeim, then even if you took them outdoors in order for the geshamim to fall on them, the mei geshamim remained tahor because they never actually touch the mashkin. It doesn't mean that they're not mukshir. They are mukshir, but they're not going to be mekabel tuma because they don't come into contact with the mashkin, which are beluim, and there was no negia. But be careful not to put this wood into your fireplace unless you're going to be touching it after you wash your hands. Why? Because the geshamim, the megeshamim that are on top of the wood will be mekabel tuma from your yadayim, because since you took them outside to get wet, the whole thing is certainly mukshar lekabel tuma, and now the rainwater that's on the surface will be metame the tanur, if you put it into your tanur to cook, because remember, min rabbanan, mashkim temeim are metame kelim. Now, even though we paskin that mashkim temeim are only metame if they were really temeim, but not if they became tame only because of stam yadayim. So why are we saying that don't touch them with your hands? Your hands aren't tame, they're just stam yadayim. That is a one gezera that if we allow you to be putting it into your tanur or under your burners in your oven, and it still has mashke tofeach, which you touch with your yadayim, you may end up actually using real mashkin tameim, a person who is tamei, not just stam yadayim, but he's tamei. So in order to keep people away from using damp wood that can be mekabel tuma in their tanur or kiraim, we want to make sure, sorry, that even stam yadayim, you're not going to be tummy. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, if these wood that absorbed the mashkim tmei were actually fresh and they were lachim, they weren't dried wood, and then you put them into this tanur, lihisikan, now you put them onto fire, and now you've got a lot of damp that's coming out because of the heat, and it's exuding from it. So now the mashkim tmeim that were nivlau are also going to be exuded. So now it depends. If rabu hamashkin hayotzim mehem al hamashkin shebalu, you have to determine how fresh was this wood, because any fresh wood is going to be exuding liquid from the cells of the wood itself, right? If it hasn't been dried out. Besides that, it also absorbed by capillary action, it also absorbed the mashkin tmeim. What is there more of? Is there more of the water that was cellular water that is now breaking out because the heat breaks down the cell and actually forces the water that is now under pressure from the heat, it forces it to get out of the wood. So if there's more of that water was never mekabel tuma. And therefore, most of it would be tahor, and the mashkim, because the water that's inside of the cells of the eitz is considered to be stam, mei peres. That is not water. That's like anything else that you squeeze. Anything that you squeeze is called mei peres. If you squeeze that water out of wood that wasn't carrying water that it absorbed, stam, because it was stuck in a bunch of water, so then that would not be mekabel tuma. And therefore, it would be mevato everything in the rov tainas, Rabbi Shimon. If rabu amashkin yotzmi amal amashkin shabalu, so then it would be tahar. The pashtas is, and this is the way, again, most Rishonim learn, that there's no machlokas. The Rabbi Shimon is simply explaining that you do need to take into consideration in another case. We were talking about Eitzim Yaveshim, but in the event that it wasn't Yavesh, you would need to be careful and to know which is more. But the Rambam understands that Rabbi Shimon is actually arguing, and he's saying that only if the Eitzim were Lachim, then we have to worry about if they're Rov or not. But if it wouldn't be that way, then we would say that it would be Metame. As you turn it on and it gets hot and the water comes out, you'd have to assume that the Mashkinatmeim are going to be Metame automatically, according to the Tanakhama, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, you don't. Not if you have a possibility of being Mavato then with the natural water that was in the wood before. Okay, that concludes Perek Revi'i, and we can do a Hadron on HaShocha. All right.